In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure everyone here knows someone who is a card-carrying member of the Grammar Police. These super helpful folks, they know all the rules of grammar and syntax, and they're always there ready to correct you when you misspeak or miswrite. And while we're all incredibly grateful for this invaluable service to our society, I will admit that sometimes it gets maybe just a little tiny bit annoying. Now, for priests like Father Nathaniel and myself, the constant temptation is not to correct people's grammar as much as it is to correct errant theology. And while I won't accuse any of us here of being raving heretics, there are little things that we constantly do that invade our modern understanding of who God is and who we are as His creation. And one of the most persistent heresies we find amongst good evangelical Christians even today is known as dualism. Now, in essence, the Greeks and the Romans held to a Platonic view that there were two distinct worlds. There was the visible or physical world, and there was the invisible or spiritual world. And they understood that the spiritual world was pure and good, and the physical world was corrupt, evil, and imperfect. Consequently, in this mindset, the concept of salvation for the Platonic dualist comes from casting off the body and freeing the soul from the constraints of the material world. The soul is thus understood to be the true self, and the body is an imperfect tent that the soul simply inhabits. So the material world is simply something to be used and eventually cast off in favor of the spiritual world. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Isn't that what we believe as Christians? Isn't this physical world fallen? And we're all just waiting here until we die and our souls go to be with Jesus in heaven? Well, a lot of people think that. And you would be wrong. So, to understand the Christian understanding, we need to go back and understand how the Jews believed. The Jewish understanding of the world was very different than the Roman or the Greek understanding. Yes, the Jews believed in both the spiritual and physical realm, but they also believed that in the inherent goodness of the physical world, since it was all created by God, both the heavens and the earth. They believed that the physical world has been corrupted by sin, but it's created good. Creation is thus not something inherently evil that must be destroyed or put off, but rather it's something fallen that needs to be redeemed. That's why the incarnation and the ascension are so vitally important for us as Christians. Now, in the incarnation, God Himself takes on flesh and becomes fully man. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate God entering the physical world in order to redeem the physical world. And so, in the incarnation, heaven literally comes down to earth. The spiritual invades the physical. When Jesus is raised from the dead, we know that He is raised with a physical body. People are able to touch Him. He eats and He drinks with them. He isn't a phantom or a ghost or some sort of disembodied spirit. He is flesh and bone, but in a different sense that we are flesh and bone, because He is in the original pre-fall physical state. And this doesn't change at the ascension. Jesus doesn't suddenly put off His physical body in order to ascend. He ascends bodily, physically, to the right hand of the Father. And so just as heaven came down to earth in the incarnation, now earth goes back up to heaven in the ascension. Now, unfortunately, Christians today easily lose sight of this understanding of the world, and we slip back into dualism. Over the past couple hundred years, rapture theology has really taken a hold in American evangelicalism. And through it, we've developed this understanding that God's ultimate goal is to destroy this physical world and rescue those who are saved so we can go and live with Him as disembodied spirits in heaven. And songs like "I'll Fly Away," "Going Home," and even "How Great Thou Art," these are wonderful songs popular at funerals, but they teach that this physical world is a burden to be shed for the glories of the spiritual reality. But in the ascension of Jesus, heaven and earth are forever joined together because Jesus now dwells physically in the spiritual realm. This is more than just a cosmic inconvenience. It is a foretaste of what is to come. In verse 11 of our reading tonight, the angels tell the gathered disciples, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven." So Jesus' return will not simply be a quick trip back to pick up His people and return to heaven. It will be a permanent return to establish His kingdom on earth. It will not be the destruction of the physical world in favor of the spiritual, but rather it will involve the joining together of heaven and earth, of spiritual and physical worlds, to create a new single reality, which is both physical and spiritual. I got an amen. All right. Thanks, Charlotte. Revelation 21 tells us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God.'" Now, just before Jesus ascends, His disciples ask Him when this is all going to happen. They say, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus responds by saying, "It is not for you to know the time or season that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus promises that He will send His Holy Spirit to the disciples. And so just as Jesus takes our physical nature with Him back to heaven, the Holy Spirit will bring heaven back down to earth and dwell in the hearts of believers everywhere. So the events of the ascension and Pentecost now serve as a bridge connecting heaven and earth and heaven. As a consequence, we're called to begin that process of redeeming the world by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, by being His witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the ascension of Jesus is more than just sort of a minor holiday on a Thursday that no one really takes very seriously. It's actually incredibly important to us as Christians. It teaches us that this physical world, as fallen and as imperfect as it is, actually does matter. It teaches us that our own bodies, as sinful and corrupt as they are, actually do matter. And when we understand this, it drastically changes the way we treat our own bodies and the earth that we inhabit. It changes how we treat others who inhabit this physical world with us. Heaven and earth have been joined, and God's kingdom has been inaugurated here on earth. As we await its consummation at Jesus' return, let us start living now into that very kingdom. In his book, Restoring All Things, author John Stonestreet says, "Christ followers are to see the world differently and have a different posture toward it. Rather than safety from or capitulation to the world, the grand narrative of Scripture describes instead a world we are called to live for. This world, Scripture proclaims, belongs to God, who then entrusted it to His image bearers. He created it good and loves it still, despite its brokenness and frustration. He has plans for it yet, and invites the redeemed to live redemptively for its good and our flourishing, even as we live for Him." That, my friends, is the message of the Ascension. That, my friends, is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us always seek to live for this world that Jesus gave His life to redeem, and that He will one day restore, even as it is being restored through us today in His name. Amen.